We almost come back to the beginning now of this training, where we mentioned that one of the purpose of this training, that is besides the a perfecting and the strengthening of the eldership, is in fact to reconsider the eldership in all the localities. This is not my words. This is Brother Lee's words. Reconsidering the eldership in each locality and producing reliable, responsible brothers. These are all his utterance. So that was a burden of this training. And over these last 2 years, we have been doing this, church by church, locality by locality. We're looking into the situation as the brothers or the church are open to us. Next month, we plan to go to Sacramento to look into that situation in Sacramento. The burden is to have a fresh look at the eldership in that locality or the leadership in that locality, and also to foster the production of responsible brothers. Obviously, when we say this, we primarily refer to the younger brothers who are not currently elders themselves. All right. Let's just get into this outline. First, we need to reconsider the eldership in each locality. Now, when did Brother Lee say this? I don't remember. But no, this is not Brother Lee. This is, this is Brother Lee in Book 8 of the Elders Training. That would put us still in the 80s, should put us in the 80s era. Most all of the elders' training messages were given in this country. They're not given in Taiwan. So he must have some particular consideration. And now I remember, actually, when I first produced this set of outlines, this was before me. The whole matter of reconsidering the eldership in the localities, how to help them, how to renew. He talked about term limits. Yeah. It sounds like politics. But the U.S. president has a 4-year term, congressman has a 2-year term, senator has a 6-year term, et cetera, et cetera. So how those are, in a sense, healthy. So we'll get back into this matter. All right, let's just go into the outline. According to the past, the present elders should have some realization of the condition of the eldership in their locality. So even the brothers who have been elders in a particular eldership, they should have certain realization of their condition, and maybe the more expressive word is evaluation. Some evaluation. You know, today, brothers, in any kind of endeavor where people are involved, in order to make progress, whether it's a company, whether it's a in athletics, whether it's whatever field it may be where people are involved, they need to evaluate constantly whether the people that have been working or serving are still able to carry on their responsibilities. Or due to age, due to different reasons, there needs to be a change. And this is nothing personal. There's nothing personal. This has to do with that particular organization's ability to advance, to continue. Well, the church, similarly, you say the church is spiritual, the church is organic. It's divine. I agree with you. But the church is also a community. The church is also an entity involved with the Lord's business. Am I right? It's an endeavor on the earth to have the Lord's testimony that is in a local church. So that's why we have elders. That's why we have brothers who bear the burden of leadership in these places. So from time to time, it is only logical, it is only healthy for a kind of evaluation. This is not our general practice. Sometimes it is forced upon us when certain events happen. There are deaths, there are sicknesses, there are various reasons that force us to have to reconsider. But I like to say, brothers, that my feeling is it is always good not to be controlled or dictated by circumstances, but to have a preparedness, to have a readiness, regardless of the environment, so that we can really take the church onwards. A church, a local church, once it's established, typically will remain forever. Am I right? Whatever forever is, for a long, long time. But we get old. Things happen. There's migration, moving, all kinds of things. We need to evaluate. We have a static view of the church life and even a static view of the eldership. Like once you're appointed, you're forever. That's why Burley bring up term limits. In most of the democratic countries today, there are term limits to the presidency. I don't know about these parliamentary type system. Like the prime minister and this, I don't know how that exactly works, but I think in principle it is the same. Now, of course, with them, they have this kind of power struggle, they have all these kind of election and voting and all of that. We're not in that realm. We're not in that realm. But the fact of the matter is, for the church to be robust, for the church to be strong, for the church to go on in a healthy way, we need this kind of healthy reconsideration. All right, one, has the eldership in your place been prevailing? That's a good question. Has your eldership been just perpetually weak? In some cases, even dysfunctional? You better look at it. And don't just assume that's the way it is. That was set X years ago, and this will perpetuate itself until the Lord comes back. Don't say that. That is a wrong concept. Wrong concept. The Chinese call it an iron rice bowl. You know what is an iron rice bowl? A rice bowl that never breaks. That once you get the job of an elder, you got an iron rice bowl for life. You will be forever and ever and ever an elder. No such thing. That's wrong concept. Now, we're not here hiring, firing. We don't do that either. We don't play musical chairs. But I think it's very important to realize that we are not in some kind of organization. That eldership, I used those words in the first meeting. It's not organizational. It's not official. It's not permanent. Eldership, by definition, it is not. Even the order within the eldership changes. in the case of Peter and James, for example. So please, brothers, don't have the idea that you are installed as elder number one, and forever and ever you'll be elder number one. Where did you get that idea? Now, we have no election. We have, you know, the church directorship. That's another matter. That's facing the government. That is facing society. We have to do certain election and voting for trustees or directors. That's another matter. I'm talking about the eldership, which is entirely spiritual. But we don't have a mechanism in place like term limits. So elders would serve forever and ever and ever. When actually, from time to time, a change is healthy. But we cannot do it. We cannot just go in and say, you get out and we put someone in. No one can do that. And so, by default, certain eldership is encrusted, fossilized, forever and ever. Now, that is only for a museum, right? Is our eldership for the museum or our eldership for a living and vibrant and thriving church? Brothers, are we here for ourselves? Or are we here really for the Lord's interest? So consider, is the eldership prevailing? If not, we better look at it. We better make some changes. And don't be stuck with something when it's not working. Some of the elders may have become a little old. Now, this is not my word. This is Brother Lee's word, who have much experience in this regard. So age matters. Not per se, but it matters. Three, you also may have discovered some younger brothers in your locality who are not in the eldership, but who may be more useful in taking care of the church's leading. That could be, that can happen. Some brothers may have even more of a gift in this matter than you do. It's quite possible that when you were raised up, because that's all there is, you fulfill that duty. Thank the Lord for that. We really thank the Lord for that. In fact, many times I feel very, very obligated for many brothers who have served for a long time in the locality. It's in a pure way that after, because of age, this and that, they have to step back and so on. No one takes care of them. And when we don't, you know, in the church, we don't give many brothers a lot of support, so they have a big nest egg. No, a lot of brothers, including co-workers, don't have that. They just pour out their lives and serve. I wouldn't say in poverty, but many times marginally. And we have no thought, okay, you've done your job, okay. We have no thought. And we don't have a pension system in the church life. We don't have these things. I don't know even brothers and saints have feeling about this. Some do, but many don't even think that way. These are brothers who have served, labor among us for a long time, and yet it's like we don't care. Humanly, there's no care for them. I feel very obligated a lot of times. What to do? What to do with the older co-workers and older brothers who have to fend for themselves? This is not right. This is not right. Okay. Anyway, that's just a sidebar. Okay. So there may be some younger ones that are more useful. Then it's wonderful. That's a blessing from the Lord. That's a gift from God that they need to come up and give them the room, give them the ground. You know, today the many 30-something are accomplishing many things in society given the opportunity. Now, we're not equating this to the church with secular society. No. But there's some principle there. And many of us started to serve when we're in our 20s and 30s. So remember that. Remember that. The young ones can do a lot under certain oversight. You know, this morning when I got up, I just was praying and I was just praising the Lord, or thanking the Lord, I should say, for me having the privilege to be with Brother Lee next to him for many years. Now, that is not a privilege that everyone has, or a whole lot of brothers have. But somehow, along with others, not just me, I had that privilege. And let me tell you, to be next to Brother Lee is, there's no substitute. There is no substitute. Even you can read the books. It's not the same to have, you know, his personal guidance and, you know, and perfecting. And so, so I feel that as a beneficiary of that, that cannot be just for me. I want to pass that on to other brothers. You don't know how much you can learn from those who are experienced. You don't need to bang your head there and make big mistakes here and, you know, go around in circles. You can learn it quickly. Really, I really mean that. So I hope the younger brothers among us, while the Lord may give you a certain gift, the Lord may even give you a burden, but you still need to learn. There's a lot to learn, and these outlines is a way for me to at least transmit some of these things to you. So we are not talking about takeover. We are not talking about succession. We're not talking about those things in a worldly way. But reality is that time flows. People get older. Circumstances change. Even the church changes. So we need always to raise up, have our eyes open to raise up more brothers, the right ones, who can take the lead in the church life in a long-term way. All right? And I hope the brothers that are newly appointed or to be appointed, you will not become perpetual. You will not think that way. Based upon these facts, the situation of the eldership in your locality should be reconsidered. You have to consider the eldership in your locality according to these 3 points. All right. Number one, should the present elders resign or not? And is this necessary or profitable? Now, these are not my words. This is really Brother Lee's word. He mentioned the word resign. Brother Lee considers profitability as a measuring stick. Really. You have been in the eldership, but it has not been profitable. Then there needs to be reconsideration, because it's not about you. It's about the church. Two, are there some new ones who are younger that might be quite useful in the eldership? We've been considering that a lot. Three, if the present elders remain, all or some, do some brothers need to be added who would be helpful and useful in the eldership? These are all the things we've been considering in these two years, and we will continue to consider as the years go on. See, because we are honest and we are for the Lord's business, for the profit of the church, and for the recovery as a whole, we should have a sober consideration and proper evaluation. Now, here's the word evaluation of the need of the eldership in that locality. The elders' office is there because there's a need. God has a need of administration among his people, hence the eldership. And that need needs to be constantly evaluated. Once upon a time, it was a church of 30. Now it's a church of 150. Things have changed a lot. The dynamics, the size, the number of saints, and many other things have changed. And there's a lot more demand now. Can you fulfill that demand? Do you need others? More help? More in numbers? You see? It's not a static thing. The church is an organism. It grows. It changes. See, okay. So, sober consideration, brothers. Be sober. D, you as an elder need to consider whether or not you are a real prophet in your locality. Now, brotherly, really shot straight. Please, I cannot tell you. I don't hire, I don't fire. But you should consider, are you a prophet? You know, if I am in an organization, and after a while I'm not a prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, then I should be smart and just step aside. Because I'm not a prophet. I once was, but I'm not anymore. Then why I should just be stuck to my position? That means I'm for myself and not for the company. It's simple as that. Are we here for ourselves, or are we here really for the church? Prophet. Bradley repeatedly used this word, spiritual prophet. There's a need to produce reliable brothers to bear the responsibility in each locality. A, when you go out, you may lead many to be saved and bring them into service. Yet if you cannot produce a few reliable brothers to bear the responsibility of the church, your going out will be a total failure. My goodness. My goodness. Maybe because I have learned so much from Brother, certain things from Brother Lee. This is how I operate, I will tell you. Really, I really mean it. Everywhere I go, the first thing is I want to find those brothers, sometimes even sisters. That can be what? That can be brought, A, be brought into function, brought into service, brought into responsibility. And number two, how I can play a role in producing them as such. That means I need to engage in perfecting them. It's not appointment. It's not just choosing some people. It's not that. It's perfecting them into that role, into that service. And that's a lot of work. I can tell you that. Perfecting takes a lot of work. There's a great amount of work for you to do. One item of this work is to produce a few responsible brothers in each locality. He spoke this not to co-workers, but to the elders. You need to produce your own. By no means should you work in a way that only you yourself know how to bear responsibility, yet you are not able to help others do so. This is the problem in many places that are stuck, that are not progressing. After a long time, the main burden still falls on you, the original ones. You did not produce helpers or useful ones. B, the principle of the church is that the Lord Jesus put himself in the 12 in the 3,000, and 3,000 in tens of thousands. The person who thinks only he can do it is a fool. You're not smart to think only you can do it. You have to think not only others can do it, but others can do it better than you. Which is true, which is often the case. My job is to do what I can with what the Lord gave me, and then with what energy I have, I would foster, I would perfect other saints, other brothers, to do this work, and maybe even to do better than I can. This is the right spirit. Then the church can exponentially grow. The service can exponentially grow. You know, brotherly talk about few reliable brothers. He's not even talking about an army of them. Just a few will carry the church life forward. Okay. You put yourself in many responsible brothers, the responsible brothers in many brothers and sisters, and many brothers and sisters in many sinners. You should continue to spread in such a way. This is the way to spread. One, after many years, you have grown spiritually. You may have grown spiritually, but if you cannot reproduce your growth in 3, 5, 8, or 10 brothers, this is a grave failure in your service. Even the young brothers. You're young. Even you need to produce others. Even you as a younger one should already have a mindset of producing other brothers. So, by the way, none of us should be threatened. You know, you're always there feeling threatened. Someone will take over you. Someone will replace you. That's not a right. You know, you're there to protect your position or something. That's not necessary. Paul did not leave Titus in Crete and Timothy in Ephesus and tell them to return after they established elders. Rather, he told them to set up elders and to teach and train the elders how to be proper elders, helping them to an extent that they could bear responsibility before God. And we're following that pattern, even to have a training like this. Everyone needs training. And talk about eldership, being an elder, that needs the most training, the most rigorous kind of training. 3, always put yourself in the midst of the responsible brothers and help them to the extent that they can bear responsibility. However, your own spiritual condition must be more advanced than theirs. Otherwise, you will not be able to meet the need. See, if you, as an elder, after many years, you stop growing. You yourself stop advancing. You still have the position. You still have the respect. But you act in actuality, you have stopped growing. In truth, in life, in different things. Then you cannot really help others. You have to be more advanced than them in order to help them. This is quite a serious word to be taken to heart. 4, properly deal with this matter of the responsible brothers and train them properly. Pay attention to the aspect of responsibility and oversight step by step. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
I think, you know, all this monthly training is to train, is to raise up more responsible brothers. 3, the regular meeting of the responsible brothers is a very important item of their training. In this meeting, show them how to do the work. So I cannot be there in your elders' meeting. If I can, I would. Because it is right there in the trenches, right there touching a church matters, that we do. Last Thursday, just 2 days ago, I was in town, and so I have not met with the brothers in my district for months. But because there was a hole, we have some. So I called the brothers, not from the church, just from my district and then another district, two district. We all meet on the campus at UCI. And just over about 2 hours' time, I just took the opportunity to give them some instructions, do some adjustment, give them some help in various matters related to the districts, in the care of the saints, in the meetings, even the meeting schedule on Lord's Day, et cetera, various things. And I'm not there, and I cannot be there to really do it with them. But as much as I can, it is in these various, when you're really touching the actual situation that you can render the most training. My speaking here is a little bit on the theoretical side because, not theoretical, on the side of principles. But it is in the actual doing that the training takes place. So I hope the more experienced brothers would really do that to raise up the brothers. Okay, arrange a time to gather all the responsible brothers together, perhaps on Friday or Saturday or an entire day and half a day to help them take care of the affairs of the church. When I was there more years ago in Irvine, I do this. I take them out. I take all the brothers out to a hotel somewhere, Yeah. In some camp, this and that, just for a day, sometimes with just the elders, sometimes with what we call the Monday brothers, which is the responsible brothers, and at other times, all the district brothers, to give them just help, to give them some fellowship and perfecting. You should put all the weekly affairs of the church together for fellowship and prayer. Now, he's now talking about an elders' meeting or responsible brothers' meetings. These are very, very good points. Of course, here with a view of training. When you go out, always give yourself to the responsible brothers in each locality. He's now speaking to co-workers. And they should, in turn, give themselves to the local brothers. D, always make the meeting of the overseers very solemn. Now, that doesn't mean no one laughs, no one is happy, but it does mean this is a weighty meeting. There needs to be a measure of gravity. And some elders' meetings are just so lightweight, so casual, too much just bantering. There's not a kind of seriousness there. Before the Lord. Charge them to shut themselves inside during this period for 2 or 3 hours before God and not receive any brother nor talk about anyone. Some of these things I think are from Brother Nee. Brother Nee. Okay. So this is not all meant to be legal, it must be 3 hours. But I like, even Brother Nee likes 2 and 3, right? 2 or 3. Okay, now the point is, for a period of time, the brothers must learn that this is a very serious meeting. The most serious meeting of the church is the elders' meeting. And so you must be attentive, you must be there. It's best to, we cannot put aside our digital devices, but surely we must just block off so many distractions and tend to the Lord's business. E, in the early phase, you should take care of meeting of the overseers in an active way. In the latter phase, you should cause the brothers to become active and they should go forward. Now, where I am, I seldom show up in the brothers' meeting because they are now trained, they can go on, they can do a better job, and that should be the, that's how it should be. In that meeting, you should show the responsible brothers how to deal with affairs and what scriptural basis you have to deal in such a way. Encourage them and also restrict them. Whenever you see something wrong, you need to say, brother, this is not allowed. Yeah, do that. When you see that something is right, you should say, brother, this is right. This is training. This is training. 5, we need to labor until the day comes when all the brothers and sisters come forth to serve. All the saints participate. Everyone serves God and everyone is a priest. Then we will truly see what the church is. I like to tell you, brothers, that this must be our aim. This must be our objective in building up the church. And that is to bring all the saints to serve, to function organically. When all the saints participate, everyone serve, everyone is in the priesthood, we have a Labor Day conference on this, then we will see what the church is. When every saint is active in some manner, to some degree, in serving the Lord. If you are able to do this, you are a good leading one. You should give yourself to a number of people, then they in turn should give themselves to all the brothers and sisters, and all the brothers and sisters then go out to practice. This is the way of the church. I think Brother Nee really got it right. You and I pour ourselves into a number, and they pour themselves into the saints, and then they all go out. This is the way. This is the way. No wonder some local churches are never built up. They exist, but there's no building. After many years, it's still the saints sitting there and a few doing everything, and sometimes even one just whatever. That's wrong. That's wrong. A church that is revived is a church where I go to, and after a few years, all the saints are living, functioning. Then I'm doing something right. B, if you cannot reach the last step, the final step of causing all the brothers and sisters to rise up to serve God and bear responsibility in church affairs, you have totally failed, because that is not the church. My goodness, that's a very strong statement. That is not the church. Help the saints to serve, to function. Give them the space. Give them the opportunity. You know, our brother Lee took the blueprint from Brother Nee and went to Chifu and practiced this. And there was a revival and a success. Here, of course, in church affairs was 1948. Brother Nee is still giving his blueprint, a more formulated blueprint. C, please remember the way you should take. You should give yourselves. I'm now even speaking to the more recently appointed brothers. This is not just for the older brothers. Now you're an elder. You should take this way. You should take this way. You should give yourself to the elders. Then you need to know, of course, here he's speaking to the co-workers. Then you need to show the elders that no matter how hard they try, they are too few to be able to handle the affairs of the church properly. They are only overseers and should not try to do everything themselves. They should not replace the church to do everything. Rather, they should oversee the church to do everything. We should not do everything. The church should do everything. It is not a matter of doing it by ourselves, but a matter of overseeing, watching, encouraging, and teaching the saints to do it, and causing everyone in the church to participate. At such a time, you have the reality of the church. I really love these these statements. If you study them, you ruminate. There's so much that we have that we can learn from and practice in our present eldership. Hand over, brothers. Hand over. You know, every saint in their heart of hearts want to serve the Lord. Brother Lee in Chinese says, they just need to breathe that breath of service. Every child of the Lord, it's like this. It comes with the life they have received, a serving life. And our job is to fan that into flame, is to stir that up. Our job is to provide the environment and the venues and the opportunities for them to serve. And don't worry that they don't serve so well, and don't worry. Let them learn. The more they serve, the more they will learn. Of course, all of this is spiritual. It has to be combined with their prayers, you know, with their relationship with the Lord, with their daily walk, and so on. And this is where there needs to be so much teaching and some supervision and perfecting. Five, you can ask a few brothers from whom you feel are promising and let them first learn to bear responsibility. You need to guide them to bear responsibility. A, it is mentioned in the epistle to Timothy that some become deacons first and then elders. I mentioned that. If you first appoint them as elders and change afterwards, it will be very difficult. To make a change with a deacon is still relatively an easy matter, but to make a change with the elder is not easy at all. Learn to pay attention before God to the spiritual condition of those brothers and their spiritual future. Think about, I do, think about that brother's spiritual condition. You just think about it. You have some insight. And based on that, their spiritual condition, you need to, I wouldn't say you plot their future, you need to think about their serving future. I do, or at least I try to do. This brother, when I work with him, or when I perfect him, or when the Lord arranges that, then I take it as my project. You understand what I'm saying? I take that as a commission from the Lord to perfect this brother. But I have to know him. I have to know his strength, his weakness. I have to know his condition. I need to know his family situation. Then I need to consider what is his strength and what is his gift, what is he good at. Then I consider in the future, what would this brother likely be useful in? All these things, in order for us to guide a brother, you know, into a proper service. Okay, many people are good materials. Do not damage them, but guide them properly and cause them to learn to bear responsibility year by year. You know what this means? This means the possibility exists that we damage them. Or we misuse them. In some cases, we abuse them. That's damage. Or you guide them in the wrong path. They should really be much more useful in this path. You guide them in the wrong path. And it just doesn't work. And they get frustrated. So all this requires a lot of prayer and consideration, brothers, to produce these reliable ones. Last, after some time, when you go into their midst again, you can ask them to bear responsibility formally. All right? Like becoming an elder and so on. I think this is good enough. This is quite good enough. Amen?